Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Gail Hogan, sitting in for Ann this week. Next week, stargazers won't have to wait for nightfall to wonder at the heavens. On August 21st, the United States is getting a rare treat as a total solar eclipse will be visible across the continent. Though a partial eclipse will be seen here in Ohio, millions of people are planning trips to get the full show, including our guest this hour. Joining me now, director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory and self-described astro nerd prime, Tom Burns. Hi, Tom. Nice
That's
to have
right.
you here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest nerd in the room, Tom Burns.
The one who knows a lot about the solar eclipse is who
well,
we have in the room.
That's right. Partly in defense of myself, because I've gotten lots and lots of questions about safe ways of observing the eclipse. And there's a lot of weirdness about this one, more weirdness than usual on the internet. So,
well, let's get started
call
with
in
an
example. Ask away. Have you
we
heard
do.
Anything weird about the eclipse?
We
on
do
the
want
internet?
People to call in. Yes, 614-292-8513. Let's start at the beginning, getting off on the right foot, explaining exactly what happens during a solar eclipse.
Well, it's a fairly simple matter of the moon getting between us and the sun. And what we are doing is standing in the shadow of the moon. That shadow, as it moves across the country in the path of totality, moves at about 1,200 miles an hour. So imagine a shadow sweeping across the country. That's what makes this one, for Americans at least, very special, because it will cover the entire country from west coast to east coast and is probably visible to within one day's drive distance to the path of totality for over 100 million Americans. I wouldn't be driving to the path of totality on the day of the eclipse, by the way.
Yeah.
They're expecting 25 or 30 million cars to be on the road.
So the fact is there are total eclipses almost every year, right?
You average about 2.5 eclipses of one kind or another, partial or total, every year. Many of them are visible in out-of-the-way places like Antarctica or Zimbabwe or the steppes of Russia. This one is so special because not only is the United States kind of completely covered, but only the United States is completely covered. A few dolphins in the Pacific Ocean may see the eclipse.
But that's it, huh?
But that's it.
Wow. Can you give us a sense of how big the sun is compared to the moon and the earth? So this makes this phenomenon
so interesting.
Well,
that's what's weird and wonderful about a solar eclipse, because the moon is only 2,000 miles wide. The sun is a heaving cauldron of thermonuclear energy, a hydrogen bomb blowing up with the power of trillions of hydrogen bombs every second, almost a million miles wide. But there is a strange and wondrous coincidence, or miracle, take your pick. The moon is 1/400th the diameter of the sun. But the sun is 400 times farther away. Any more or any less, and you wouldn't see in a total eclipse that glorious corona. You'd never get totality if the moon were a little bit farther away. You'd see a ring of fire, as we sometimes get. And if the moon were a little bit farther away, then even the corona, the sun's outer atmosphere, the most spectacular part of any total eclipse, would be blocked. It is a miracle or a coincidence.
Or a coincidence. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher, and we're talking about the solar eclipse this hour. If you have plans to travel to see the eclipse, give us a call. Let us know what you're planning. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 614-292-8513 or email allsides@wosu.org. You mentioned the corona. What is that, Tom, and why is that part so spectacular?
Well, it's the sun's outer atmosphere. When you block the sun's glow with the moon, it's about as bright as a full moon. And, oh, it is hard to describe. It has been described by me as the most beautiful natural sight that humans can behold. And I have seen much of nature. What you see is a shimmering, glowing halo that shifts gently in the solar wind. It is like nothing else you have ever seen. And let me tell you, I've seen them on the internet.
And you're going to see it again. Where are you going?
I'm going to Stanley, Idaho.
And why there of all the other places you could go?
Well, you know, you do a careful study of the climatological data along the eclipse path, and you discover that basically the farther west you go, the better chance you have on any given August day of getting clear skies. Now, I know people who are going to Wyoming, for instance, north of the eclipse path, and then they're prepared to fan out in any direction, west or east, to get to the place of clear skies. What my wife and I intend to do is start in Stanley. We're hoping it will be clear to the west of us because there is a town, Lime, Oregon. Population zero. It's the site of the old Portland cement factory that you have to see this broken down cement factory to believe it, because what I'm looking for, and my wife is going along with me, is the zombie apocalypse experience of this totality.
That's probably some of the weird stuff you say you've been reading on the internet.
Well, no. No, the end of the world has come again, my friends, and we know because of this eclipse.
This eclipse has such a history, too, being written about it, going way, way, way back.
Well, you mean in terms of people preparing for it?
Right.
Goodness me. I mean, try to get a hotel room in Nashville. The path of totality, the moon shadow passes right over Nashville. The path is only 70 miles wide. So Nashville is lucky, and so are the people who own the hotels.
Well, I was
going to
say,
because most of those hotels have been booked up for two solid years as eclipse nerds from all over the country and all over the world were planning for this eclipse.
Are you surprised that this is getting so much attention? Because as you describe yourself as a sky watcher nerd, are there that many people around that are you surprised by the attention it's causing?
Well, first of all, let me put it to you this way. Stand in any location on planet Earth and you will see a total eclipse of the sun on average every 450 years. This one passes over such a wide swath of the country that, of course, it's getting a lot of attention. This is our eclipse. This is the great American solar eclipse until 2024, when we'll see another one.
We have a caller now. This is Evelyn from Columbus. Evelyn, your question, please, or comment.
Why does the moon, as seen from Ohio, move from left to right across the sun?
Well, what you're seeing, people generally assume that actually it's moving. I'm trying to imagine this in my head. It's moving from right to left.
So it is.
The moon is moving from right to left. The sun is traveling, or the shadow of the moon is traveling from west to east. But the actual lunar disk is traveling. No, it is. That's right. I'm trying to imagine this in my head. Sorry. It's traveling from west. Yes, it's traveling from west to east or left to right. And why, you ask? We assume, you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, right? The moon rises in the east and sets in the west. That's the direction that the moon is moving as it passes across the sun. So it will pass from right to left as you're looking at it. But the illusion is an illusion, because what you're really seeing, and this actually subtracts some from the speed of the shadow, is Earth spinning in the other direction. As you stand looking at that eclipse, a partial here from central Ohio, you are spinning from west to east at 680 miles an hour. It would knock your hat right off.
My hat is spinning with all these numbers.
Your hat is also spinning around at 680 miles an hour.
My head is spinning and left to right, right to left, east to west. So I'll take your word for it.
That's right. It's not the sun and the move that are moving. You're moving at 680 miles an hour from west to east.
People want to see this eclipse. This is apparent. How can you watch the eclipse safely?
Well, there are a variety of methods. There's the old pinhole method. Most people these days, the technology is tried and true, and it doesn't make you go blind. They're called eclipse glasses, and they are filters that are dark enough so that the only thing you can see through them is the sun. To give you a sense of how bright the sun is, people have been calling and asked me, can I use my welder's mask or welder's goggles? And the answer is probably not, because typical welder's glass, I am told, is a number 10. But you need a number 14 to observe the sun safely. So to put it another way, the disk of the sun, even the partially eclipsed disk of the sun, is brighter than a welder's arc.
If people want to order these glasses, is it too late now, Tom? Are they pretty much sold out everywhere, or can still people get these?
Why, no. As a matter of fact, we just distributed thousands of these to Half-Price Books for sale, I am sorry to say, folks. But a good chunk of the proceeds go to help us maintain Perkins Observatory, in case you were wondering. So that you can still get them at Half-Price Books, a lot of the places that were giving them away for free. There was one grocery store that you buy a six-pack of Coke, you get a pair of eclipse glasses, are running out, but you might try those places.
But I have heard there are counterfeit glasses.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And this, beware.
Really?
Beware, my friend, seriously. There are counterfeit eclipse glasses. There are companies, usually in other countries besides the United States, who are manufacturing these, selling them on the internet, and they are phony. That is, they're not dark enough, they're not safe enough, they don't block the ultraviolet radiation that is doing you some harm. So, can you tell? Well, sort of. I mean, on one level, what I did with a pair of phony welder's goggles that I got was that I held them up to the light. And the first thing I noticed was that I could see the light through them. And that means that they weren't dark enough on the face of it. Also, I might add, one side had a hairline crack in it that you could see right through. Those glasses will damage your vision. But here's the trouble. They might be dark enough to block visible light, but they might be letting ultraviolet light through. And you aren't going to notice that you have damaged your vision until sometime after the event.
So this is really serious.
There is
people.
Something you can do. And I don't have the web address. It's too long to say anyway. You go to Google or something and put in American Astronomical Society eclipse or something like that. And it will take you to the American Astronomical Society website. They have done extensive research, and they do have a list of approved manufacturers and approved sellers of eclipse glasses. And before you order glasses, please, or any other method for observing the sun, please go to that website and make sure. By this time, it might be too late. A lot of those people are out of eclipse glasses, but I can tell you this, it is important to do that. I just got an email from an old buddy of mine from middle school. He said, "Hey, Tom, we got our eclipse glasses, but then a couple of weeks later, we got a note from Amazon that said, destroy them, don't use them. because they're using the American Astronomical Society website now. And he would be out of luck, except in my car, I have half the world's supply of eclipse glasses.
I'm following you to your car.
Want to buy some, Gail?
We'll continue our conversation about the solar eclipse.
$3.
With Tom
Burns. By the way, I just want to say also, with our eclipse glasses, you get two brochures. One has everything you always wanted to know about eclipses in general. Amaze your friends, amaze your neighbors by your knowledge of eclipses and astronomy. But also, there's a lot of information about the local eclipse, including the timings, which you should ask me about.
We will get to that in just a moment.
But it's, I think, really, it also has safety information. All of the various ways that you can and cannot observe the eclipse, because over the years, my goodness me, I've gotten calls with some of the weirdest methods that you can imagine, which mostly are not safe.
We hope that you will call us with a question or comment, especially if you plan to travel to see the eclipse. Call us at 614-292-8513 or email allsides at WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Gail Hogan. We're talking about the upcoming solar eclipse this hour. Still with us is director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory, Tom Burns. And again, listeners, if you have a question or comment about the solar eclipse or are traveling to see it, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us allsides@wosu.org. If you can't travel, though, Tom, where should people try to watch it in Columbus? I mean, is there a better place than not? And the time?
Yes. A place where the sun will not be blocked by trees. Now, we're talking, you know,
big fields.
We're talking a local noon, which is about 1 o'clock, which is 1:04 when it starts, and it'll be over by 4. So just make sure that most important thing to realize is that at 2:30, you shouldn't be between two tall buildings in downtown Columbus.
Is that the optimal viewing?
That's maximum eclipse when about 85% of the sun will be blocked in central Ohio. The answer to your question then is just make sure you can see the sun. Be wearing your eclipse glasses when you do. And make sure that, you know, if it happens to be cloudy in Columbus,
I know.
Be prepared to drive a couple hundred miles. That's what I'm planning to do.
I mean, if it's cloudy, there's really no recourse, is there? You just can't see it.
Well, that's right. Well, you will get an experience with a when you're only looking at 15% of the solar disk, if it's really dead cloudy, maybe even raining, it's going to be dark. So, and let me put it to you, you know how it gets dark when it's storming. With only a 15% sun behind all that, it is going to be the weirdest experience of your life.
It's not like
a tornado is approaching dark.
And street lights will go on automatically and that kind of stuff? I mean,
oh,
it
yes,
gets
absolutely.
Really?
Especially with totality. Remember, if you're on the path of totality, it's only as bright as the full moon. Street lights will go on. The crickets will start cricketing. Birds will go to roost. And even with a partial eclipse, you'll notice something about the shadows, especially. There's less contrast between the shadow and the ground around you, which turns a kind of eerie blue color.
This sounds very cool.
it's an extraordinary, even a partial is an extraordinary experience, but it's nothing compared
to a total
to the sight of the sun's corona during a total eclipse. You know what often amazes people about this, when they're especially when they're observing with eclipse glasses, is how small the sun is. It's only as big as a full moon. It's only as big. If you want to get a sense of how big the sun and the moon are in the sky, it's as big as your little fingernail held at arm's length.
For people who are actually in the pathway, I know you said it's going to get dark. Well, does the temperature drop and all those sorts of
things? Oh, yes. The temperature will drop over the course of the eclipse, but then drop kind of precipitously during totality for the 2 minutes and 15 seconds of the eclipse where I'm observing it from. By the way, just to say, if you're planning on going anywhere, Eclipse Central, the eclipse capital of the world, for one day in 2017, on August 21st, is Carbondale, Illinois, my friends. That goes from a sleepy little town to, it is possible that in Carbondale, the population will increase for a couple of days for by a couple of million people.
We have Barbara from Columbus on the phone. Hi, Barbara. Your question or comment?
This is sort of a whole different take on the eclipse, but I'm totally blind, and I watched the eclipse the last time it happened, and I used all my other senses.
Ah.
And there's a lot that happens besides just the visual. Like you were saying, the temperature drops, the wind comes up, and it's like sort of an eerie feeling that goes along with it. The birds stop singing, and I just called to say, well, you know, if you're going to watch the eclipse, let your other senses reach out and watch, the other things that are happening.
What, that is so interesting, Barbara. Thank you for that comment. And you say that's true, too, Tom. I mean, the wind picks up and all kinds of things.
Oh, yes. And what you'll experience is not just visual, in other words. There is that eerie feeling of I'm very moved by this.
Yes, that's interesting.
Use all your senses.
Use all your senses. Good call, Barbara. Thank you. You're listening to All Signs with Ann Fisher, and we're talking about the solar eclipse this hour. If you have plans to travel and see the eclipse, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email allsigns@wosu.org. Now, we have a call here from Trevor, and I think this is really interesting. Trevor from Columbus, you're on the air, and you want to know about taking pictures?
Yeah, my family and I are going down to the eclipse. We're going to like the Nashville area or somewhere, hopefully around there. And we were wondering about taking pictures of the eclipse. Do we have to get like a special lens for it or anything, or can we look through the camera and through to the eclipse, or how do we do that?
Well, that's the thing. It depends. I assume your viewfinder is a screen, right?
Right.
I would strongly, strongly recommend either getting some filter material. You can still order it on the internet, or buying a solar filter for your camera. Now, I'm going to be using my iPhone, and here's how I do it. I take a pair of eclipse glasses, and I put one side of it over the lens of my iPhone, and I've been able to get really good solar images by zooming in. It helps if you kind of prop your arms on something. I've been able to get really good images of the sun uneclipsed by doing that. And here is another little trick you can try. You know those rainbow glasses? The kind of glasses you put them on and you see the little rainbows coming out of the lights and things
Yes, okay. Yes.
Okay, so you put a pair of those inside your eclipse glasses, and what you will get is a spectrum of the sun. That is the rainbow band of all the colors that the sun is made out of. And that's what a rainbow is. It is a spectrum of the sun. I've gotten some great photographs, solar spectra, yes, by putting the eclipse glasses on the inside. And by the way, that's always the important thing to recognize about solar filters. Here we're using a pair of eclipse glasses as a solar filter. Is that it goes in front of their front end filters. So that I've heard people have actually called me and said, well, can I put on my eclipse glasses and look through binoculars or a telescope? I said, yes, only if you want to go instantly blind.
Oh, wow.
Because the light coming out of a telescope will burn through an eclipse glass. This is something we demonstrate at the observatory all the time. Look what happens when we put a pair of eclipse glasses at the eyepiece of a telescope or binoculars. We burn pine cones that way.
Safety, Trevor.
But
thank
yes, you.
You
can do it. Now, I am told, I actually read this on the Apple website, that they said that a brief exposure of say an iPhone, because they're digital, will not damage the chip underneath that collects the light. But frankly, I wouldn't do it.
Why chance it, right?
Why chance it?
Here's Sandy. Sandy, I guess you're traveling to see the eclipse. Where are you going?
I'm going to Myrtle Beach. I have a good friend there. And I just realized by an article in the Dispatch that the path of the total eclipse ran through South Carolina.
South Carolina, that's right.
Right. So I called up my friend. She said, come on down. I got a cheap airfare out of Rickenbacker. So, yeah. So I'm going. But my question is, how good will it be in South Carolina? That's pretty far from Carbondale, Illinois.
Well, the only difference, if you're along the path of totality, and I would get myself an eclipse map off the internet and make sure when you end up in South Carolina, you're inside of that path. The only difference is the length of the eclipse, all other things being equal. Like the clarity of the sky. I mean, you don't want to go toward clouds. You want to go toward clear skies. But so in Carbondale, maximum eclipse, 2 minutes and 40 seconds. By the time you get to South Carolina, it might be 2 minutes and 25 or 30 seconds. So you're okay. It's still good.
Thank you, Sandy.
I'm going so far away from Carbondale that the eclipse will only last 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
What is the longest then total that you can see it?
The longest period of totality is Carbondale, Illinois, 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Now, here's a question from John, an email question. He said, I might take a day trip next week from Columbus. What's the closest place for totality?
Well, I would say Tennessee or Kentucky, probably somewhere in Kentucky.
And you can find the pathway online.
That's right. What you should do is look for, just write Eclipse Path 2017, and you'll get a bunch of maps that some of them are pretty detailed that will show you where to go.
We have lots of calls. I'm going to try to get to them here. So here is here's Phil from Westerville. Phil, what can we do for you? Phil?
Yeah, hi, yes. Hi, Tom.
Hey.
I was just thinking when you were talking about the unique relationship between the size of the moon and the distance to the sun. Are we unique in the solar system? I mean, with all the other moons that we know about and the other planets, are there total eclipses on the other planets?
Absolutely, on every single one of them. Because what you'll get, and we see these all the time on Jupiter from the outside. So as one of Jupiter's moons, like Io, passes in front of Jupiter, what we see is this tiny little black dot moving across the face of Jupiter. This is a really cool experience. This is seeing a solar eclipse from the outside. If you were on the planet Jupiter, at the right spot, that shadow would sweep right across. I wouldn't recommend this, by the way. You would die. But you would see an eclipse. As a matter of fact, a great way to see an eclipse would be from space, because the shadow is bigger there. It's wider than 70 miles.
Phil, thank you for your question.
I have to tell you about a funny call I got with regard to the being in the shadow up high, but later.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's go to, let's see, Chris in Dublin. And you're a bit worried about this. Why? Why are you worried about
it? Well, I'm a little confused. I had planned tentatively to go outside and, say, face east away from the sun just to experience for the 3 minutes the darkening and the chilling and everything else that goes on, but I really don't want to look at the sun, even though I'll have some eclipse glasses. But you just mentioned a 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock or 4:30 window there.
I can give you the exact numbers if you want them.
Well, yeah, am I not supposed to be outside at all, looking west from that whole time, or
No. Wait a minute. Now, this is very important because this is a fairly common misunderstanding. It's not some kind of deadly eclipse ray that's harmful to you. It's looking at the sun that's harmful to you. So, except for that 2 minutes in totality, if you happen to be on the path, you should wear some sort of protection because it's always dangerous to look at the sun. So that. The nice thing about eclipse glasses, I mean, these have been, they're tried and true. They've been scientifically tested to make sure they block 100% of the ultraviolet rays, radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, there's an organization, I can't remember what it is, the ISO, something. It establishes standards and then it tests a lot of different products, but eclipse glasses, to make sure it has reached that standard, 0% ultraviolet. So unless the eclipse glasses are damaged, you are perfectly safe going out there and using them to look at the sun. I do it every single clear day with my set of eclipse glasses, which I have had since 1991 for the eclipse, the total eclipse that I saw then.
Thank you,
and
Chris.
I have suffered no damage whatsoever to my eyesight.
But it's obviously safe to go outside. That's
yes,
not
it's certainly safe to go outside. It's certainly safe to look at the sun, whether it's eclipsed or not, in a pair of eclipse glasses. And there is, it's no more dangerous to observe the sun in during an eclipse than it is to observe it any other time.
We'll continue our conversation about stars, planets, the solar system, and the eclipse. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Gail Hogan in for Ann. We're talking about the upcoming solar eclipse and other news from the cosmos this hour. Still with us, director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory, Tom Burns. And we have many calls and comments coming in on our line at 614-292-8513. So if you don't mind, I'm going to go right to the phone.
Please,
Tom,
do.
Because we have so many to get to. We're going to go to Brian's from Columbus. And Brian, you are going to travel to see this, huh?
I am.
Where are you going?
I will be in Nebraska. I'm actually going to be in Grand Island, Nebraska, something I planned several months ago to make sure that I could get out there as far as inexpensively and find places to stay, because it's going to be right in the path of totality.
And you're right. I mean, good idea that you started early because, Tom, according to everybody else, it's a little late now.
Well, huh? Even campgrounds are hard to find. So, go ahead.
Tom, you said something else that was interesting, and talking about the eclipse glasses and the path of totality. So when it's actually, I will be in right in the middle when it is fully eclipsed. I can take off those glasses for a little while and just watch it with the naked eye. Is that correct?
Thank you for asking, because in totality, what you'll do is you'll have your eclipse glasses on and the sun will get thinner and thinner and you'll see the last flash of light as the last bit of sunlight shines through a valley on the moon. Boom, and it'll be dark, and you rip off those glasses as quickly as you can and observe the wonder and the glory of a total eclipse. Yes, you better take off those eclipse glasses.
Wow.
My goodness, it would be a long trip for nothing if you didn't, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Brian, thank you. Good question. I didn't know you could take them off. I mean, I think I've... So
remember,
fearful.
Remember, it's not the deadly eclipse rays. It's seeing the sun. And what does the moon do? It blocks the solar disk completely so that you can see that brilliant, shimmering, shining, shifting corona, which is only as bright as the full moon.
Okay.
You wouldn't wear eclipse glasses to observe the full moon.
Okay, gotcha. All right, here we have John. And John, your question, please.
Mine?
Yes.
Tom, this is John Masters, and what you were so kind as to come to my house and look at a reflector telescope I had made.
Oh, yes. Hi, John.
Tell me, I just want everybody to know how devoted you are to the subject and so on. And a few years ago, we had a partial eclipse, and I used a pair of binoculars to focus the light onto a screen, not look through it, but held the big end of the binoculars toward the sun, set the focus to infinity, and it made a nice projection of a picture onto the sidewalk or a paper screen. I wonder if I'm in danger of melting down glue inside my prisms and all that.
Well, no. In fact, I wouldn't be doing that for any length of time, because what will happen, especially with a refracting telescope, with lenses, in other words, is that you can melt the glue. You can actually shatter the glass inside. We generally tend to use a reflecting telescope, but here's the key. Here's the key. You can show a lot of people this way, that the screen goes some distance, perhaps a couple of feet away from the eyepiece. Then you focus the telescope. And keep this in mind. That image on that screen will not burn you because the image is spread out. But at that eyepiece, that light will instantly blind you. It'll flash point. It'll flash boil. The liquid in your eye and your eyeball will squirt out of your socket.
That's pretty graphic, Tom.
Now, why am I saying this?
I don't know.
Because people do stupid things. I mean, for, what was it, the 94 eclipse. Yes, the 94 eclipse. We were doing projection down at COSI, and we had stanchions set up. We had ropes so that people could not get close to this eyepiece as I was doing projection. And a lady kind of burst through the ropes and was darting toward the telescope to look through it. And I literally had to tackle her. In other words, people don't know. I mean, if you're doing this, just please, please, dear Lord, be careful. And what the irony of this was that the eye that she was looking through, was going to look through, was her only good eye. She was blind in the other eye. So I can only tell you, this is safe to do as long as you don't get that paper too close to the eyepiece. I'd also like to mention that we do this at Perkins Observatory to show images of the sun, mostly for kids during school days. And we have cracked more than a few eyepieces.
So there you go, John. Be careful.
Be careful.
Thanks for calling. Here's a question, interesting one. Catherine from Columbus, your question, please. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Hi there. I'm a little confused. I think you've already answered this, but I'm confused about the UV radiation. If there's more radiation on eclipse day, if we need to take more precautions in caring for our skin, or what it sounds like is that it's the same, it's just that we don't normally look at the sun so long.
You shouldn't be looking at the sun at all, thank you very much. But no, it's the same on eclipse day as it is every single day. Should you wear sunblock? Of course you should. Should you wear sunglasses? Of course you should, because that UV radiation is hitting your eyeballs all the time.
But it's nothing different or new on eclipse day.
There's nothing different during an eclipse day. The advantage of eclipse glasses is that they block 100% of the ultraviolet radiation. It's what does you harm on a day-to-day basis.
Catherine, thank you for your question. Here's another question from Jackie. Jackie, your question, please. Hello.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Gail and Tom. It's always a treat to have Tom on the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So my question is about dogs. And I don't know if Tom can answer this or if I should ask my vet. But I'm a dog walker, and my busiest hours are between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. Are there any precautions I should be taking with the dog's eyes so that they don't get hurt?
No, absolutely not, because only humans are dumb enough to look at the sun. No, I have to put it another way. Dogs aren't going to look at the sun.
They don't.
I mean, they don't look at the sun. Of course they don't, because it hurts to look at the sun. And, you know, it's funny because you say, hey, are you going to look at the sun today? And people would say, what, are you crazy? It's only during an eclipse that people would be crazy enough to look at the sun. Unless you're double dog dare.
Jackie, thank you.
A double dog dare you to look at the sun. Don't look at the sun.
Since we're talking about eclipse, what is the difference between a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse?
Well, it's just a matter of arrangement. That's all. So what happens during a solar eclipse is the moon gets in the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
The moon gets between the Earth and the sun. Well, what if the Earth gets between the sun and the moon? Well, then all of a sudden, what's going to go dark? The moon's going to go dark. So it's just a matter of arrangement. That's all.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher, and we're talking about the solar eclipse this hour. Give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email allsides@wosu.org. We've been talking about lay people watching the eclipse. So scientists, astronomers, is this special for them as well, Tom? Will they be able to learn anything new or confirm things that they've thought about?
You know, it's funny. You'd have to ask a professional about that. But when I ask a professional about this, they say, well, you know, Tom, we can actually, you know, you have the SOHO spacecraft, which can put it, it's a spacecraft designed to look at the sun. It can actually put it in a occulting disk. You want to see a solar eclipse? You can do it anytime you want to. Besides, I think that, you know, the special events having to do with a solar eclipse have pretty much burnt themselves out over the centuries since the invention of the telescope. I know a lot of professional astronomers going to see this eclipse, and they might be taking a solar telescope or something like that, but that's only for the joy of it.
I was going to say, maybe not learning anything, but I can see from you the excitement and the joyfulness and even moving you to tears at one point in this hour.
Oh, yes.
Thinking about it.
That description of an eclipse without being able to see, I just thought that was so beautiful. It almost, there's a poem, listener who called that in, there's a poem in what you said.
It was beautiful.
And I hope that you'll write it.
Let's see here. Bob from Columbus, what's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is about as the Earth, is any of the equipment up there from the Apollo missions still active? And are they watching what goes on down here as the eclipse goes across the surface of the Earth?
Well, not from the Apollo missions, but there are actually, I think, a couple spacecraft orbiting the moon. And what's interesting is what you'll get is something like the International Space Station, if it's in the right place, will actually take an image of what's happening on Earth. And what you see is this dark oval or circular stain, and what you're looking at is the shadow of the moon projecting itself on the Earth. it's not as good an experience from orbit if you're not in the shadow, of course, because you can't see the corona. What you can see is what it looks like from the outside. Remember that dark spot that moves across Jupiter? Same thing. If you happen to be in orbit from here, you're seeing a giant oval or circular shadow moving across the Earth. It's pretty cool, actually.
Yes. Bob, thank you. I have a question because you early talked about not just misnomers, but some strange things that ideas that they have about the eclipse. Can you expand on that?
Oh, the weirdness that happens during a solar eclipse is that a lot of people really do think that these are apocalyptic, no matter that they're an average of 2.5 of them a year. But in this particular case, because this is an American eclipse, people are commentators of a dubious nature are saying that God sends eclipses to send messages to the countries that they pass over. And that because, this is the weirdest one I heard, by the way. And what this one is a warning to America that because the eclipse pass sort of cuts the country in half, well, sort of, because it's not really, it's not,
kinda
it's a
diagonal
path, for
right.
goodness sake. Yeah. That this is a message to America not to partition in the partition of Israel. Swear to God. And that if we do participate in the partition of Israel, then a war in which Israel and the United States will be apart will occur ever so soon afterwards.
I'm sure we can find all kinds of these things on the internet. One more call
here. You want a message from God? The beauty of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There's a message from God if you're looking for one.
Beth from Delaware, you're traveling to Oregon to see this.
That's right. Oh, really?
Yeah. Hi, Beth.
Yes.
Where are you going?
Yes, we are. We're going all the way over to Newport, which is right on the ocean.
Oh, yes. Very good.
So that we don't get any trees and stuff like that in the way.
Smoke from the forest fires. Yes. Be prepared
hopefully not.
The trouble with being on a coastline is there's no place to go west unless you have a cruise ship or something. So be prepared to run east because I was just looking at the forecast maps and it looks like it might be cloudy. Watch the forecast every single day. Try to get there early if you can because you might be running west. I'm prepared to run west. I'm sorry.
We've already mapped it out so that we can go back east if we need to.
Very good.
Hey, Beth, thank you. Enjoy the experience.
Eclipse chasers, as they are called, are prepared to run. I am prepared to drive 1,000 miles the day before and the day of.
You have this mapped out already?
In other words, I may have to drive halfway back home to get to clear skies, and I have it all mapped out, yes.
But that's probably wise advice for anybody, especially if you're going to travel so far.
It is wise advice. And to anyone who thinks that's crazy, all that I can say is you've never seen a total eclipse of the sun. And to give you a sense of that, I was on a cruise ship off the coast of the Baja Peninsula with 14 other astronerds, many professional astronomers. And the sun got slimmer and slimmer and slimmer, and the last bit of light shone through the last lunar valley, and the eclipse occurred, the beautiful corona of the sun. And for 15 seconds, there were whoops and yells, and then an eerie silence came upon that cruise ship, except for the sounds of sobbing, of weeping from these many professional astronomers as they witnessed the most beautiful natural sight that humans can behold.
Well, you've painted a picture, Tom.
And let me tell you, I wept myself.
Well, I think if you hadn't planned on going to at least here in Columbus, check out the eclipse. You need to after you listen to Tom. Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Tom Burns, thank you for joining me. He is the director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory. This has been All Signs with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for listening.